turning to wave at us with a silly grin. And I almost waved back at her. Almost. Yeah, I'm okay. I need to do this. A fall breeze played with my freshly straightened hair as I wrapped my black knit scarf around my neck twice. I wore nothing but blue and black. Any other color reminded me too much of Monday. Still felt a pinch of guilt whenever I saw pink. With all the eviction notices, over the last year, Edboro slowly turned into a ghost town, and Monday's home was renamed the House of Horrors. I shuffled closer to it, listening for the blaring television, and lifted the heavy padlock, hanging like a weight. It clanged against the thin wood. Pressing my ear to the door, I closed my eyes and listened. Silence. No buzzing, just wind whistling through an empty space. I backed away with a small relieved smile. She's not in there, I said to myself. She's not in that freezer. She's gone. You're Monday's friend, right? I yelped, almost tripping over the same crack in the pathway as I had years ago. A woman sat on the stoop, next door, so still she blended into the background. I remember. You came by here a few times looking. She buttoned up the top of her tan coat. She told me about you. Said y'all looked alike. Like y'all could be twins. My heart swelled at the thought of Monday talking about me with such pride, and I walked through the yellowing grass to her stoop. She looked much older up close, with a shock of platinum hair, creamy butterscotch skin, and a smile that could light up the night sky. I'm Miss Roundtree. Was about to head inside. You want some tea? The crooked boarded-up windows on the abandoned home to the right of hers seemed like a rush job. No, thank you, ma'am. Are you the only one left on the strip? Miss Roundtree smirked. Rodney and Casey moved about a year after it happened. With everything else going on around here, no one wants to live next to that place. But this has been my home for a long time. Too late to quit it now. My eyes flickered up to Monday's boarded-up bedroom window. She's not in there anymore, I reminded myself. She's gone. She used to sit on her stoop a lot, looking up at them clouds, Miss Roundtree said, sighing. She'd cry sometimes. That's how I knew something must have happened. Hadn't heard her cry in a long time. I used my hands into my pockets. Why didn't you say anything? She paused for a moment, collecting her thoughts. She probably heard this question 10,000 times, but this time, she seemed to have a different answer. I got 2 grandkids that live over in PG County. Can't be no more than 20 minutes from here. Maybe 40 with traffic. Crystal just turned 12, and Dean is about 9. Students of the month, piano lessons, violin, soccer, football, ballet. Their schedule got their mother ripping and running everywhere. And I'm proud of them. I just never see them. I haven't laid eyes on my grandbabies in maybe 3 months. They're just busy. Too busy to even give their grandma a call. But just 'cause I don't see them or hear from them often, don't mean I rush and think they dead. That's what I feared about Patty's babies. Shoo. Monday was over at your house more than her own. Back at the car, Michael watched us from a half-open window, hands gripping the steering wheel. So damn overprotective. I nodded and smiled at him. I ain't making excuses, she continued. That's what it's like nowadays. You used to see your family at least for Sunday dinner. This here used to be a pretty tight community, but now everybody's so caught up in this and that, that you don't notice what's right in front of you. She cleaned off the front of her coat and shook her head. Sometimes I have nightmares about what went on in there. I have nightmares too, I admitted, kicking a few acorns by my feet.
Oh, yeah? About what?
I don't really remember. I just remember the buzzing. I bit my lip, holding back tears. Her face wiped blank as she leaned back. The freezer sat up against the wall, so that buzzing was in my house, too. Even after they found them, it took a while to get rid of the sound. We both looked at the house, as if someone was about to walk out the door. Goosebumps popped all over my arms, growing up to my neck. Michael honked his horn, and I nearly jumped out my boots. He peered out the window, waving me on. Guess I gotta go. It was nice talking to you. Heading for the car, the question hit me and I doubled back. Wait, how'd you get rid of the buzzing? Ms. Roundtree smiled, folding her hands together. It's all about the way you look at it. You gotta decide what something is or isn't. It may have been buzzing, but I decided it's humming. Someone is just humming a song in my ear. A pretty song.
Glancing at the house one last time, I gave Miss Roundtree a hug.
Thank you. Sure, baby. Anytime.
I jumped in the car, kissed Michael, and we drove off, cranking up Daddy's newest song, with Monday humming along.
This is Imani Parks. We hope you have enjoyed this unabridged production of Monday's Not Coming, a novel by Tiffany D. Jackson. This program was produced by Dion Audio. The director was Sebastian Seton. Executive producer, Caitlin Gehring. Text copyright 2018 by Tiffany D. Jackson. Production copyright 2018 by HarperCollins Publishers. All rights reserved. Thank you for listening.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.